Hi, I'm Dragan, and this is the Lunch Break Coach podcast. We're back with Heidi, talking about her experience in the corporate world, having fun, why thinking about yourself is not like being selfish, setting the right boundaries, and coincidentally, this episode happened to be recorded on my birthday. Enjoy it. When I met you, you were into the corporate world, you know, let's use this metaphor here. You were running for a company across different locations. You know, you were in the office, you were what I remember, HR manager. You know, that's flashy titles, or like people operations managers. I mean, I more like the people operations than the HR, human resources with people. When you had to leave this, what were the things you're missing from there? What was more difficult to let go?
You know what? Like, the first thing that comes to my mind is the very sort of cliche, like the people, but Dragon, no. Not the people. And I think that there is, when you are sort of the highest in rank HR, you can't really blend with people. This is my stupid boundary. Can't really blend with people on a very, like, absolutely not a private level, but maybe not even that personal. So my personal engagement with the people was very little. Yes, there were a few that I connected with, like I want more out of this person than just, you know, a work relationship. And we are still in contact. So I don't miss them because I still got them. So that's the people thing. I can't say I really miss anything, because what I do now with HR Connect, I got all the, you know, the raisins in the cake. I got the relationship, I get the conversations. You know, people call me just to sort of offload or brainstorm, or I get all this. I get this kind of HR recognition, but I don't have to do the operational shit. Sorry. So I don't think that the corporate world right now, where I am right now, suits me. Sitting here, you know, walking in my clogs into my little hut, spending time, you know, freely with you and the HR Connect members and the coaches that I have, and sort of deciding over my own time. And I, you know, bring value to other people on the ice, or if I go surfing, you know, how can that not be better than the corporate world?
So how come many people still get attracted to the corporate world? Because what I sense is even a little bit of sense of loneliness. Like, I was here high and I couldn't actually interact with the people the way I wanted to, because it didn't really make sense. And we know, even from experience as coaches, that people at the top are very often lonely. They're less enjoying it being around other people because of the boundaries they need to set. I was thinking about, you know, if someone wants to enter the world of HR, see, I'm happy to see that the profession became really popular. And it's not only like, you know, people look even beyond just, you know, what the traditional HR role will be. What are your three tips of wisdom that you want to give to people?
Because I'm so very wise.
yes. What are the three things of wisdom you would like to give them? Like, okay, imagine I'm someone who wants to go into this profession, and you have to tell me, listen, three things you need to know about HR.
I don't want to sort of sit on high horses and go, this is what you need to do. But if I can answer the question like this, if I, again, would enter the HR realm for the first time, what I would like to have in my backpack is, again, going back to resilience and boundaries. Like, I don't know, in the beginning, like 15 years ago, I used to have nightmares, Dragan. Like I couldn't sleep, you know. I brought everything like a sponge, like unfiltered. Everything was, you know, I was just one with work. Everything that I'm not today. So resilience, like actually understanding that. The pressure that you put on yourself, other people don't. You know, it's not like everyone goes home and think about what you did wrong, you know. So some kind of pat on the back, you know, for yourself. Resilience, leaving, you know, this is work and this is, you know, me. And again, probably I still stick to the loneliness, depending on what your role is in HR. Like I've always been leading the teams. So I want to be, you know, I can't be the drunkest. I can't be the loudest. I can't brag. I can't share. I can't, you know, I have to be, you know, very military according to, this is how I would sort of look up to a good HR professional, like high integrity. So be personal, be kind, but keep your private stuff to yourself for your own sake, not for everyone else's.
For your own safety. Yes.
Safety, good word.
The amount of cases I've seen where boundaries were not respected or were too wide open at work, it's amazing. The amount of complication that comes after. And then you feel, as an HR, because I was in HR as well for a number of years, and you kind of feel abused.
Yeah.
Used and abused, you know? And the same way you put boundaries with the employees, you have to put even boundaries with management as much as you can, because as an HR, you're sandwiched.
Absolutely. You got expectations from all over, from the floor and from management and from boards. And maybe this is like what I'm living now, like be a bit selfish. Like, yes, I know that you want this. I know that you need this. And I understand that this is urgent. But while I'm sort of just giving, I'm losing myself. You were talking about being abused, but also, you know, make sure that you go to the conferences, make sure that you learn, make sure that you take time to actually sort of understand the case or the scenario that you actually, you know, give time to the handbook, write it in a nice way instead of just running. That's where I feel, you know, I've probably been through every scenario, but everything in the gaming industry specifically, that's what I, that's what I'm learning from. It goes so quickly. So I feel sometimes like a smorgasbord, like just take whatever and then, whoa, what's left for me? Kind of. So be a bit selfish. Be very selfish.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being selfish. So actually, selfish is a very self-compassion thing, because it means like you respect your needs.
And that it sort of leads to some kind of authenticity, right? Uh-huh. Like, because what you actually get, then it's true. Mm-hmm. It's real. I'm not faking.
If you have to think about how authentic you are, and I know you're very authentic from all our interactions and the way how you even speak on conferences and stuff like that. If you have to compare between when you were there, like in an HR role, senior HR role, and now, what's your level of authenticity compared to before? Like, where do you feel more authentic?
The only thing that comes to my mind is the authenticity.
Yes, God, it's complicated on the tongue.
Well, it's probably the same level of real, but however, since moving back here, change of lifestyle entirely, probably I'm going to use the cliche word, like my values, I wouldn't have been able to pinpoint values during those 12 years of building a career, getting caught in sort of, you know, the flashlight of things. Like, whoa, shit, I'm promoted again. Now we're going to merge. I got even more. You can easily get blinded by the light and the speed and like, whoa, everyone else is very homogeneous, you know? Here, the level of crew is the same, but it's much more closer to home. like I'm doing things that I want. I'm realizing, like, I'm living the life I wanted to live as a 13-year-old. Like, I do extreme sports. I make sure that I'm free because I'm selfish. I can easily, like this weekend, I'm planning stuff for myself. I'm going up to Gozo. Over this island, to just
hang
out with my friend over there, to have a lovely dinner. So I make small adventures. I'm spending a lot of time with family. I'm spending a lot of time with friends. Friends come here to visit. So I think it's much more private, authentic. I don't know. Child again.
Yes, I mean you're 13. That's nice.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I it wasn't bad actually. My 13th.
Like the authenticity. Like so there is like this freedom is real, and it's just been slumbering for 12 years, which is extremely sad. If I had not actually realized it. Little did I know during the time of career living in Malta, loving every second of it. Now, in a different environment, I've sort of unlocked and removed the blanket and I go, oh, yeah, right, this is me. This was me and it's still me.
When you were talking, my coaching brain kicked. And I've seen it many times, the thing you're talking about, like, when you start living with your values, you identify what your values are, and then you start, like, you know, living with your values. It's quite liberating because you don't need to compromise with other things. You know, like if my values are my health, my children, my family, and everything else, like, okay, I'm doing this because these are my values, and I don't need to take decisions against my values. What happens very often when we work in a company is like how my personal values match with, you know, with the company values. And I hear people when, you know, coaching, I use values quite a lot. I guess you do the same. Like someone says, I need to, you know, always like walk an extra mile. And I'm like, what does it mean? This is one of the stupidest cliches in corporate world.
Work hard, play hard.
Yes. And I'm like, what, like the three things that you really like are guided by. And one thing people also don't understand is values change. So my values are not the same when I was at the age of 15. 20, 25, 30. Like today, my values are different. And we often don't stop and think, what are my three top values at the moment? What I'm living, what guides me? And once you identify this, you first know where to spend your energy. And second, you know, actually where to say no, because this is against my values. I needed to do recently this, even in my work. Someone asked me to do something. I said, no. That's not really, I mean, my work values do not match with, it wasn't a bad client or anything. They just wanted to do something that I didn't really feel comfortable with. And I was very, very serious. I said, sorry, it's not going to work and I'm not going to take it. And it's a difficult decision to say no to business.
But you can, because you're your own, right? And that's the luxury that we have. If you work in the corporate world, you don't have the luxury. Then you have to put your face on whatever reorganization. If you don't like it, then, you know, don't do it. But then you're not part of it.
I have the sense that, you know, this series like turned a little bit into, okay, these guys left their full-time jobs and now they live a freedom. But it's actually not like that. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who learn to say no in their corporate role. And a lot of things change for good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they just thought you cannot say no. From the beginning, someone told them, no, you're not allowed to say no.
Exactly. But I don't think that sort of working on your own like this is for everyone. There's a lot of unsafety in it as well.
Very, very difficult. Yes. For the good and for the bad. You don't have a structure, you don't have a support. Everything. Yes. Like if you don't have work, you don't have work. I mean, and it's not about complaining. We know even from research that people who work alone work probably 20, 30 hours more than everyone who is employed.
Yeah, exactly. You have to prove not only to yours, well, you don't just have to do what every client expects. You have to sort of prove yourself. And you also, you are your own accountant, your own finance department, your own mental support, your own gym teacher.
Yes, everything. And I remember the shift myself from having a name behind myself, a strong name, and being myself. I always had the, okay, I can lay back on the name, you know, like now it's like me. So for the good and bad, it's
exactly.
Me.
I'm still very hesitant about the me thing. Like, yeah, that's not what I go out and market. I'm too, I don't know. There's a boundary here that is a bad boundary for me. I'm not ready for this.
It will come when you need, when it needs to come.
I'll call you before. People finish their lunchtimes now, you think?
Yes. And I was thinking, okay, that is even went longer than what I've planned. But actually, it's lovely because there were quite a lot of things, you know, like who you are, the change you need, the topic of being selfish when you need to be selfish, and selfish in the most positive kind of way, like selfish and self-compassion. And the topic about, okay, I left my corporate job. I enjoyed it. It was good probably for the time I was there, but then it wasn't bringing a lot. So I started putting my whole experience, my experience into a new place, which I see it a little bit more valuable. We spoke about the importance
if
of living.
I was very career driven, though, however, it might have been a different story. I'm not, because I realized that living on half the finances, but getting double the amount of time or amount of empathy for myself, it's much more worth it. So it's again going back to values. So it all depends on
your yes company. And when we're talking about enjoying our life and having good quality of life, it's not necessarily linked to money. Money are important, but and career and status, because I've had clients who the top values are career, status, money, and that's fine. That's how they live, and that's how they justify their decisions. And that's brilliant. Thinking about,
say, to be honest, neither of the people that I have on, you know, like who I call for certain reasons that I stay in contact with, have those values. Probably says more about me than them, though.
I remember seeing it as a coach for the first time. I felt very uncomfortable because, you know, it didn't match with my values. But then I said, fine, you know, if this is your values, it's your values, and that's what we work with. We're not here
and
to judge.
Our...
Yes. So it's their choice. So the freedom, the values, the important things of doing things that are new and unknown. You said the ice hockey coaching.
Exactly. Like, yes. Push yourself. Like, there's so many things that I've realized that, you know, what gives me confidence is, geez, I can sort out things that is normally not in my role, whatever that means. Why should I be the mom looking at my kids playing ice hockey when I can actually be on the ice and, you know, also as a woman, you know, so here's the female thoughts as well. Showing 20, 10-year-olds that I can actually... Women can, mothers can, it's not a dad thing. So this builds up confidence. And actually, I'm learning, you know. I have this bet with one of the guys in the team. So by the end of, or early next year, like after the Christmas holidays, then I'm not going to only break, you know, like the normal, you know, ice hockey break, but actually the inward, like upskilling. I'm all about upskilling, you know, the difficult break from the inner leg kind of thing. Why not?
And now you triggered another question, which I'm going to ask really quickly, and you don't need to answer, but what are the skills you transferred from all your experience to hockey?
The what? The skills?
The skills, yes. Because like, if you didn't have any skills how to teach hockey or run a hockey coaching thing, what are the skills that helped you from your life, you know, like from your leadership, from your work, from your life experience, to still manage to do this?
I think like we are many coaches in this team. We're seven. Some of them are highly competent, skilled hockey players. Some of them are very, you know, organized, structured. So we all have our different strengths. Mine is the relationship building, you know, talking to the kids, listening to them, encouraging them, and actually realizing that this is so, this is according to me, this is how I read it, but this is needed, you know. It's not only about the game. It's not only about the skills and the time on the ice. It's all about the team as well. So that's my strength and my part. And I think that me being able to do the same little practice for 30 minutes in a row, just standing doing one thing only, somehow, if anyone sees it, that will inspire, like, okay, she actually learns from it. Mm. So, like being, what do you call it? Very consistent. And again, going back, finding each relationship with each kid. Like, this is what we do. We laugh. This guy, we have trust things with each other. This girl, she inspires me. And hopefully it's a mutual thing and I can sort of give back to that kid in the same way.
Wow, that was very nice to hear.
Maybe there is some change. Everyone does what we can in the system, the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like the, you know, they said the relationship building, so the knowing them, the, you know, the knowing how to interact with different people. It's not about technical. I know we spoke about having the hockey team as a foundation from working in with people in the future. Mm. It's not about like you mastering a skill. We don't work in a factory.
No.
Where, you know, you need to how to operate the machine. It's like in a hockey, there's a lot of interaction between the team players and dynamics. So if they don't like each other, they still can play good and reasonable. But if they have a good dynamic between themselves, the chances are they're going to enjoy it. And that probably is going to bring much more motivation for them to win and help them as well to recover after there's a loss, because the loss will happen. So it's not impossible. Wow. Fantastic. I mean, I got inspired from our conversation today. Thanks a lot, lady. I mean, I was planning this to happen for some time, and I've learned a lot from today for myself. I hope everyone else who might be listening.
You are welcome. Happy birthday, Dragan.
Thank you, Heidi. Take care.
Have a good one.